Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
It's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
That's how I know.
This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning. It's Glenn and Sarah, John with the day off. Thanks for joining us for Morning Air as we blast into another beautiful week in the middle of summer here in North America, enjoying some of that great weather. Sarah, how are you doing today? You and the fam have a good, fun weekend?
Oh, yeah. No, we had a great time. I feel a little bit more exhausted than on Friday just because we were just trying to do so much. Sometimes in the summer, that's just what it feels like.
Well, that does happen. That does happen. Emily Jaminet might have some good ideas for you at the bottom of the hour when we talk about kind of revving up that spiritual life again a little bit in the summer, doing a little recreating a little bit. But I tell you, it's fun, though, to be busy in the summer with kids, especially when you can head to the zoo, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, yes, we hit up the zoo over the weekend, which was good. You know, trying to break up the weekend. Sometimes kids, they want something to do. My 9-year-old now, he just had a birthday a week ago, he's always asking, what do we do next? You know, he's at that age where he, what are we doing now? I got to have something lined up. So we're like, okay, we're going to go to the zoo. How about that? We haven't gone to the zoo in a while. So we hit up the zoo and they had some new things there. You know, after COVID, you know, things were kind of down and, you know, couldn't go out and go to all these places and stuff. But now everything's back in action. So it was nice. We got to everybody, you know, you're trying to get everyone to behave. So we got the carousel in and we got to go get some ice cream and no one melted down, which is always a rarity. And you're driving your little stroller and stuff through the zoo, there's always the parent there with the meltdown kid and you just share that knowing glance like that was me last time and I'm just waiting for it to happen again, right? So it was a good time. We had a good time, Glenn. How about you?
You're just thinking about the kid, you know, what's next? You know, I suppose that stage comes after. I remember the one stage when my youngest one went to, well, where are we going? You know, everybody just pile in the car, you know, whenever you're doing stuff. And then, you know, they get old enough to actually wonder where they're going as opposed to, oh, I got to follow my sister. So here I go. But I did old people stuff. I tell you, I was outside sitting, talking and eating the entire weekend at a restaurant Friday night, at relatives on Saturday and at friends on Sunday. And so that was great, sitting and visiting and, you know, some interesting topics that we might bring up over the course of the next couple hours as well. One thing we didn't talk about, though, is Saint Benedict, who we celebrate today. And that's why we have Father Jeremy Plouffe with us, coming to us from the metropolis of Elbow Lake, Minnesota. And that's in the St. Cloud Diocese. He's patrolling the western border and taking care of several parishes in that area. Father, great to have you along this morning.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Sarah. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us, and your neck of the woods is pretty big into St. Benedict. You've got colleges and things like that, and it's great to have you along on this feast day to talk a little bit about that.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we have a women's college and a men's university founded by Benedictine nuns and Benedictine monks, which is very, very exciting. And, of course, the convent and the abbey have both been large contributors to the diocese locally here, both in terms of staffing parishes and educating both priests and laity who work in those parishes. So yeah, the Benedictine legacy is very, very strong over here in Minnesota, especially in Northwest Minnesota.
Now, as your life as a Catholic and as a priest, St. Benedict, someone that you have studied and been inspired by a great deal?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and St. Benedict, it's one of those larger-than-life characters, whether a member of the Benedictine order or just a priest anywhere in the world. You know, St. Benedict is just, there's such a contribution he made to Christianity. And one of his famous titles is sort of like the founder of Western monasticism and sort of the one who really, really taught the church to value prayer itself. And I think that's something really, really exciting just to think about, to say that there was this person, St. Benedict, who just so valued the idea that we need to pray. I mean, there's plenty of work to do, whatever our career is, whatever our vocation is, there's more than enough work to get done. And St. Benedict, not just for the monks and the nuns, but for everyone in the church, would really say, like, hey, prayer is the backbone of what we do, whether we're a priest, a nun, a monk, or a layperson doing our job with our family. Prayer is absolutely essential to being a Christian, and he really taught the church to pray.
You know, this year when we get into focusing on the Eucharist a little bit more, but kind of goes hand in hand with prayer, it's going to make us a little more contemplative, think a little harder about some eternal things. Talking with a friend yesterday who was inspired by pulling weeds in the backyard. And I mean, it does give your mind a chance to wander a little bit, but he was pondering the marvel of God's creation and how, you know, this little blade of grass can figure out what spot in the middle of a sidewalk to pop through, you know, and boy, could that really happen by accident? Or maybe there's a little God design there. And so, you know, maybe even being in the backyard can be a little contemplative type of thing. But with St. Benedict, you know, the focus might be on prayer and some of those orders. And it does as well. I think we talk a lot about diocesan life and parish life, I think. But talk a little bit more about, you know, the life of monks and nuns and some of these religious orders. And maybe we don't maybe give it enough attention compared to some of the other things out there. But what in specific might be good for us to know about Benedictine monks and nuns?
Oh, sure. And there's plenty to know. And I think bouncing off of that, just that idea of contemplating what's like the blade of grass, as you put it, Glenn. And I think the first thing is what we just said, is just that idea of prayer. I mean, Benedictine monks and nuns, that prayer it starts with that. And I think lots of times, especially where I went to school at that Benedictine college and Benedictine university, we always tend to focus, and understandably so, on, well, what is that monk's job? What is that nun's job? What do they do for the college? What do they do for the university? Or what do they do for the convent and monastery? And it's always important to start with, like, they pray. And for all of us too, whatever our career might be, that's a great place to start. Is we've got to pray first, and then we can go and do our work. And in fact, in the Rule of Saint Benedict, Saint Benedict talks about ora et labora, work and prayer. And the whole day for a Benedictine monk or nun is peppered with prayer. There's, you know, maybe you'll have morning prayer first thing, and then breakfast, and then go out and do your job. And then before you eat lunch, then there's noontime prayer or midday prayer. And then the whole day is just peppered with, you have your work period, but then you come back to pray. You do something else, and then you come back to pray. That's absolutely essential for a Benedictine. And again, that's what St. Benedict wanted to teach the church, is let's pray. And then for all the nuns, for all the monks of Benedictine orders, they have work to do. And a second really important thing from the Rule of St. Benedict is St. Benedict writes, a little harshly, you might even say, in the light of the 21st century, St. Benedict writes, if the brothers shall not work, then they shall not eat. So he's pretty harsh in saying, like, yeah, prayer is super important. That's the backbone of what we do. But if the Benedictine sister or Benedictine brother is not willing to do his or her job, well, then we're not willing to offer them a bite to eat when it comes time for lunch or dinner. And so it's essential, too, for St. Benedict to say, yeah, it's not just prayer. We've got work to do, and let's work just as hard at both, where we put our real heart and soul into what we do. And maybe lots of us can think about, I work so hard when I get to the office, or whatever my career is, I put my heart and soul into doing a good job. Saint Benedict would say, that's amazing. Well done. Put just as much heart and soul, put just as much effort into your prayer every day as well.
You know, and we can kind of shift some of that blame from Saint Benedict onto Saint Paul as well, who was kind of big on everybody should do the work or not eat as well. But also a hats off when we're talking about work and pray, that Latin phrase, always part of the email signature of the oldest relevant radio employee, not by age, but by service, Marty Jury, who's been making things work for like 20 years in the engineering department, does some great work. And I always think of him when I see that phrase, because he's used that on his email for, you know, 25 of his 20 years that he's been here. So hats off to Marty as well. Now, I was talking with one of your brother priests from the St. Cloud Diocese the other day, Father Scott Pogacnik, about St. Benedict. And he was saying, maybe if not in the pure work sense, but kind of in the spiritual sense, the Benedictine rule was maybe a little easier to accept spiritually for some people, especially at the time it was developed.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a great history to the Rule of Benedict, where it was based on sort of things that were sort of grassroots happening at the time. And so there was this sense of Christianity at the time where when Christianity, you know, had this rather fast transition from this fringe movement within Judaism to this illegal religion in the Roman Empire to persecuted, to then all of a sudden becoming legal and the official religion of the empire. You know, Christianity had this wild ride in the first couple of centuries. And so one of the things that was going on, again, grassroots among the faithful, is a sense of like, well, wait a minute, if the faith is now the official religion of the Roman Empire and everybody is all of a sudden a Christian, even those who really didn't know what it was, there was a sense of like, we've got to take this seriously, or else it's just going to sort of spread too thin into becoming a nothingness or a name only kind of faith. And so there were all these pockets of whether it's like the famous Abbot Anthony who just decided, I want to go in the desert to be away from the city and just to try to figure out what the faith is asking me to do, to take prayer seriously. That's one example, and so many others where they were just saying, how do we get serious about the faith now that the faith is both legal and even encouraged around the Roman Empire? How do we take it seriously? And so St. Benedict, again, basing his rule on a whole bunch of things that were going on at the time and sort of capitalizing on this sense among a lot of the faithful of how do we take faith in Christ seriously? What does it mean to be a Christian now that it's legal to be a Christian? And he wrote this idea of like, okay, let's make work what we do. Let's make prayer what we do. Let's make our whole lives centered around being faithful to Christ. And it really was an exciting time. Again, that's why he's called the founder of Western monasticism, the guy who decided to make the faith very, very a serious thing that we do. And it's sort of awkward to call it a career, but in the sense of making the faith the center of all we do, just as it seems like all week long, our lives, our days are dictated by our job. St. Benedict wanted to say, like, let's have the faith be our job.
Celebrating St. Benedict today, it's Morning Air. It's Glenn in for John. Thanks for joining us. Father Jeremy Plouffe has joined us. We're talking about St. Benedict. If you have questions or comments as well, love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. You're free to chime in anytime. Again, toll free, 888-914-9149. And as we look at, you know, it's at the time of St. Benedict figuring out, okay, let's launch this thing and keep it going forward with great momentum, this Christian faith. Now we live in a time where, you know, it's legal for the moment. We shouldn't scare folks about that. I'm sure it will be for quite some time to come. But, you know, when it maybe is waning in popularity in some demographics, it's like, is this a good time to kind of reactivate some of those ideas that St. Benedict had?
Yes. You know, and I think that's a great angle to take, Glenn. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, one of the things that as Christianity continued after the 5th and 6th centuries when St. Benedict was alive is these monasteries that these Benedictine monasteries and convents became sort of like the place to preserve the faith, you know, when things got difficult, whether it was a shortage of food, you know, maybe too strong to call it a famine. But this idea of like the Benedictine monasteries, they held the faith together and not only in concrete ways, like, you know, before the printing press, they had the ability as a group to copy down the Bible and make copies of the Bible and pass on their fruits of their prayer and thinking about the faith. And even further, a lot of these Benedictine monasteries became places where people would go to study the faith, where, you know, the early versions of seminaries where like, oh, okay, if you're going to be a priest, if you're going to be working in a church, a parish church, you're going to need to be educated. And lots of times they would go to the monastery, go to the abbey as the big resource. And they would learn from the Benedictines, learn how to pray, learn to the Bible, learn how to study, and then go out into the parishes. And then, of course, educate all the rest of us, you know, who would come to Mass. And even as the Middle Ages drew on, these Benedictines became like the resource. They became the place where even local dioceses around Europe would say, like, we were relying on the Benedictine nuns, we're relying on the Benedictine monks to be a resource for us, both in terms of like, well, what do we do in this situation? Or can you educate the future priests of our diocese? Or could you just be a place where when it comes time to go on retreats, when priests and others need a retreat, can we just go to the Abbey and learn from your prayer, pray along with you and learn from you how to practice the Holy Faith once again? And so more directly to your question, Glenn, in terms of like the way the faith is right now, again, we see maybe a spreading thin of the faith in many areas of the world where we see a lot of people of being Christians in name only. And these Benedictine monasteries and convents are really, really great places for not only individuals or small groups to go on retreat and learn from the Benedictine nuns, learn from the Benedictine monks of like, well, how do we reinvigorate our own faith? How do we make sure that we're praying very strongly? Again, just as strong an effort we put into our job, can we put that same strength of effort into our prayer? But also just in the sense of, let's go and see these folks. Let's go meet the monks. Let's go talk to the nuns. Let's go see these people who take Christianity so seriously that their whole lives are dedicated to prayer and work in the name of Christ. And that's something that is really, really special when you have those vocations to say, my whole life is centered around work and prayer in the name of Christ. That alone, just seeing those folks, the nuns and monks of the Benedictine order, for example, can really reinvigorate any one of us, even a Christian who's not that strong a Christian, seeing Benedictine monks and nuns who have dedicated their whole lives to work and prayer in the name of Christ can really get us re-excited about being Christians ourselves.
Father, often in faith topics, we get around to how can we share this particular thing with kids a little bit as we help them develop their faith. And we know that in terms of developing vocations to the priesthood, it's important for kids to see priests not only in action at Mass, but also in regular life outside of Mass as well. Is it important to expose kids maybe a little more than we might normally to let them see what the life of a monk or nun might be like, to consider that as a vocation?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because I've got two interesting stories about that. So when I was a kid going to those Wednesday night faith formation or religious education classes, as so many of us do, one of the things we did in middle school is a little field trip, for lack of a better word. And we sort of all carpooled out to the Benedictine Abbey local to us. And we joined them for evening prayer. And I remember it was just this almost surreal experience of all of us, you know, just kind of gathered into one section of the church. And there was a couple of monks who were handing out little booklets to, here's how you can pray along with us for evening prayer. And then just to hear the monks in this big church chant the Psalms and other parts of Scripture, and to see how they took this so seriously that they all wore the same clothes, you know, which I later learned were habits. And just to see like, wow, these people take the faith so seriously that they pray together every day and several times a day. And just as a middle school kid, that really made an impact on me, just to see like these guys take it that seriously, that their whole lives are centered on that. We did that in middle school. And then I think also another fun example, again, I had the privilege of going to a Benedictine university for college, and the university has, at least at the time I was there, monks who would live on each of the dorm room floors, and they would sort of act as a faculty advisor or a faculty resident. And it was really kind of exciting to see how we as college kids could just see how they were normal people. They weren't these otherworldly sort of people. But at the same time, you know, their holy vocation really kind of inspired all of us to see like, wow, you know, they are praying every single day, they're working every single day, and they're able to have, you know, not only that as their vocation, but the ability to share the fruits of that vocation with the rest of us in terms of like, hey, as young men in college, you know, being able to inspire us to take the faith seriously as well. And I'm sure there's all sorts of other creative ways going on too, whether it's, you know, a summer camp at a university of where there's Benedictines, and there's all sorts of fun ways to do that. But those were my two experiences of just getting exposed to Benedictine monks and nuns, and that they take the faith seriously and that they can share the fruits of that serious faith with the rest of us.
Well, taking that faith seriously, Father, think about again with Relevant Radio. We invite anyone to listen of whatever particular faith. And we, of course, have mostly Catholic folks, but folks of various faiths checking it out, trying to learn more about Catholicism and the like. And well, we can learn a little bit from other faiths as well. Your home state of Minnesota, they're home to many Muslim Somali refugees who've built up quite a community over the last generation or two. And the state's Christians are learning that Muslims often, if they're serious, will pray five times a day. Workplaces making accommodation for that. And can we not notice that and learn a little bit that, my goodness, if our Muslim co-workers can take their faith seriously enough, maybe us as Christians and Catholics ought to be able to put a little more prayer into our regular work day too.
You know, absolutely. And that's a good example of when I was growing up in a public high school. That was certainly something that my friends and I noticed of that. There was others who would come and they would step aside even out of the classroom to pray at certain times of the day. And it certainly is something that inspired us, like, wow, you know, that's something that maybe we could do as well. You know, maybe not in as formal a way, but in our own way of like, yeah, you know, praying all day long, you know, or inspiring each corner of the day with prayer. That's certainly something to get excited about. And I think if I recall correctly, a little, you know, straying a little bit from the Benedictine order, I think that was something that St. Francis, among others, saw as well when they would visit areas that were heavily populated by Muslims. They would say, like, wow, there's prayer formally several times a day, and how inspiring is that? And how can Christianity make sure that we are inspired to pray several times a day as well? And you think of all sorts of ways you can do that, whether it's a simple decade of the rosary on a little bit of a break or on your lunch break to make sure that I read some scripture in addition to getting my lunch done and getting back to work, or even the Angelus is the origin of that, where several times a day we just say the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary and remember the fact that that's how Christianity started as well. So yeah, lots of great ways to say that, you know, hey, you don't have to be a monk or a nun to pepper the entire day with prayer. And it's also just so inspiring not only to see other people do that, but when we do it ourselves, even in simple ways, peppering the whole day with prayer, it really makes a difference, not only practically in our lives, but in a deep spiritual way as well.
Father Jeremy Plouffe, we always appreciate your time and your great efforts, both on and off the air here, and all this talk about prayer and work. We'll let you get to work doing the real business. So thanks again for your time this morning. Father Jeremy Plouffe from the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota. We continue with Morning Air on the way next. Emily Jaminet talking about how summer really is a good time to hit the reset button spiritually as well as in other ways too. That and a new story corner coming up before the hour is through. All on the way next as we continue with Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Looking at life through a Catholic lens. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. It's Glenn Leverins along with Sarah Tafoya. John Morales has the day off. You're listening to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Story Corner coming up before the hour is through. Some news headlines on the way as well. And we're going to continue right now. Not doing the Macarena, though. I don't know how to do that. I've seen it.
Oh, come on. I'm just saying, how many people are in their car with their hands out, front, back, trying to do the on the hips?
You know, there's one behind your head and one out to the side. And I used to do some wedding dances a long time ago. That part of the career kind of slowed down about the time the Macarena came out. And I used to bring someone else up to teach that, but it wasn't me. Do you know how to do the Macarena?
I do know how to do the Macarena. And it's actually funny because we accidentally were playing it somehow in our house. And now my daughter, like, she became obsessed with it for quite some time. So it's a fan favorite for all generations. They like,
you know,
that constant movement.
Playing it accidentally in the house, you know, that's a great house where that can happen accidentally. But then I think about it, and we have a magnet on the refrigerator, and, you know, it's a little 3D magnet of a boombox, and bought it because it has the frequency on it of a station I'd worked at one time. But when you hit play, again, it's like 3 inches long. You hit play, and the Macarena plays. And thanks for reminding me of that. I'm going to have to go out and maybe have a little kitchen dance-off party.
Well, get a little YouTube video. There's tutorials out there give you a little hint on how to get it done.
I'm glad this is radio only at this point when we're talking, showing off our Macarena skills. But it's some summer fun here on Morning Air as we talk with Emily Jaminet in just a moment about really how to rev up and rejuvenate our faith a little bit in the summertime. Is that something that, along with the, you know, maybe hopefully a little extra sleep and more fresh air for the kids, infusing a little more spiritual life into them? Is that something that either is a goal or maybe organically happens at your house when you're not doing the Macarena there?
Sarah? When we're to find a moment when we're not doing the Macarena. Now everyone's going to think that's all we do. Yeah, you know what? I'm really curious as to what tips Emily can give us, because I feel like there's a lot of opportunities where we could sprinkle in things, but I'm not always thinking about it. And so I'm sure they're just passing right by. You know, you try to, when you see like you're in nature and saying, wow, God did a great job today, or you see the sunrise or the sunset, you say, well, isn't that beautiful? But I'm sure there's a lot more opportunities that Emily can give us as parents and listeners, grandparents, on what we can do to kind of bring attention to those God moments throughout the day and kind of get a little bit closer to living that ora et labora, that work in prayer throughout our lives. It'll be great.
Oh, very good. Well, we need to wonder no more because we do have Emily Jaminet with us. Emily, first off, we have to say welcome. And then secondly, ask you if you have any Macarena skills.
You know what? You had me dancing when you played it. So I love Monday mornings because we do get to hit the reset button from our weekend. And that's really fun. I have some great memories actually of doing the Macarena at Catholic Family Land with my family for a number of years. So it ties in nicely on spiritual reset in summer. And for some of us, summer is a little bit dredgy. I did a poll recently and asked some of my followers if they love summer as much as I do. And many of them preferred, you know, warm, woolly socks. But I think no matter if you prefer it or not, this season is where we're at. And we can definitely grow closer to Jesus in these warm months.
Oh, I tell you, I don't know, being in the northern climate here in Minnesota, you know, that week and a half of summer, we make the most of it. So we enjoy that quite a lot. But it's a good time, you know, like you want to tell us here, Emily, about a great chance to kind of renew a little bit. And no matter how busy we are, and as adults, the year's calendar is not as different as it is with that 3-month break from a normal school year. But it's still a great chance. We're thinking there's a little more time to do nothing, perhaps, or maybe we get over busy, but maybe starting from the doing a little bit less perspective, how can slowing down actually help, you know, focus us a little bit in terms of giving our mind and hearts a little space to wander and then kind of come back to ground zero?
Well, I think for many of us, you know, we live a very go-go schedule. And for me as a mom of 7, you know, summers are a little bit chaotic because a lot of kids are coming and going from sports and activities to their summer jobs. But, you know, a number of years ago, I actually spent some time kind of looking into this idea of summer rest. You know, is everyone going at a high-speed pace? And I found this quote, actually, from Pope Benedict XVI back in 2010 that really actually did a spiritual reset for me when I heard it, because at the time, you know, the Holy Fathers give themselves permission to rest, and Pope Benedict shared, during these quiet days of summer, let us thank the Lord for the many blessings we have received and draw ever closer to Him in prayer and fidelity of His commandment of love and in communion with His body, the church. And when I remember reading that, I remember thinking, you know, am I resting? Am I growing closer to Christ, you know, in the love for the Eucharist and the love for the church and even in the love of my family? And a lot of times that also comes from just stepping away from that busyness. So that's something that I am learning to embrace. But I also, you know, really challenge each one of us to see the summer months as an opportunity for ordinary growth that comes in sometimes very small little moments, like the tomato plants on my back patio.
You talk about growing, a great time to kind of not only grow tomato plants, but grow relationships, and maybe put a little more time tending to those than we might have a chance to during a busy school year. And one of those really, our relationship with God, a chance to deepen that a bit.
You know, I think that's really true. When we look at our relationships in summer, we might find that there's a lot more time to grow closer, especially to God. I notice that, you know, as we plan our summer vacations, when I sit poolside, that's usually the typical question, you know, where are you going? What are you doing this summer? And, you know, no matter where we go or what we do, it's an opportunity to, you know, include in your suitcase your Holy Bible. It's an opportunity to make sure you bring the Relevant Radio app. I love to spend my mornings, you know, when I get up and I listen to the In Conversation with God. I can literally be on a walk, be on a run, and listen to this amazing formation that's offered to me right on Relevant Radio. But, you know, that time with the Lord develops deep wells of faith and really allows us to grow even in our perspective of gratitude throughout the rest of the day. So don't view your vacation or your time off from God, but really we have to, or we're invited to, grow closer to the Lord.
Excellent time for doing that. And is it, you know, and Pope Francis has even talked about wasting time, you know, in terms of with families too, and we'll talk about that aspect of relationships in a little bit, but kind of leaving enough space in our mind, enough margin where we can, you know, focus on what we'd really like to as opposed to just what we really have to. And if we're really pursuing our faith, what we'd like to is get a little closer to God. So using that summertime to not maybe overbook it, but finds our hearts kind of like a compass, redirecting to the right direction.
You're right. And, you know, the summer months are longer and they're really an opportunity for us to not just try to squeak every little bit of extra sleep, but, you know, enjoy those mornings. Have a date in the morning with Jesus. I love to have my coffee and watch the sunrise and really focus on how I can utilize this time. The kids are not running out the door for school, but at the same time, you know, there are little new windows. So being flexible with maybe, you know, your kids' schedules, your grandchildren's schedules, or even just the chaos of the neighborhood and what you hear going around you, but embracing it and really allowing the Lord to touch your heart in this season and hit that spiritual reset button is really important. And as that relates to God, you know, we also can strengthen our relationships and develop spiritual friendships, Christ-centered friendships, by, you know, extending our patios and welcoming our fellow parishioners in, having that maybe for the first time in a long time, you know, a gathering at your house that's not just for fun, but also affirms the faith and helps you grow closer to the Lord.
Emily Jaminet's our guest this morning here in the section of Morning Air, and as we continue on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, talking about using summertime as a time to renew both our faith, our spiritual life a little bit, and relationships too, our relationships with God and relationships related to friends and how that can play into our faith a little bit as well. I've finally given up, I think, Emily, and just admitted that my favorite leisure activity is pretty much, you know, what I do on the radio is just talk. You know, we spend the last several weekends just visiting with friends and family, you know, starting out earlier in the summer with some of the more official things like high school graduation, open houses for friends, kids graduating, to just more informal get-togethers or some traditional things. They're maybe back at it for the first time in a year or two with some interruptions due to COVID, and to kind of, you know, rekindle some of those relationships can be a great and powerful thing to see how other folks have maybe grown or come through struggles or you know, have needs that we can help them with a little bit. But I find, excuse me, that makes life so rich.
It does make life rich. You know, over the 4th of July, one of my family traditions is that we always get together with two other Catholic families for just a few days of lots of fun. But I will say faith is always at the center. So an example would be ending the day with a sunset rosary. We all go to Mass on that Sunday with our families. And, you know, a lot of times those conversations are Christ-centered, which is, I've seen the fruits of doing this year in and year out. The younger children are now being influenced by young adults who have taken their faith seriously. And it's not just the fun yard games. I put some pictures on my Instagram of lots of fun that we had, but the faith is what glues us together. And I was thinking, Glenn, about the book I wrote, The Friendship Project, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Making and Keeping Fabulous Faith-Filled Friendships. You know, one of the key points of that book is we have to continue to be investing in relationships that are meaningful to us. If it's, you know, the relationships with our family, with our friends, because these are the relationships that in the good times are great, but in the hard times, they're really an important aspect to us. being able to be healed, freeing us to be strengthened, and really be transformed in that the way that Christ wants us through growing in holiness. So friendship isn't just optional. I think it's a necessity, and summer's a great time to cultivate those kind of friendships.
Did you find, Emily, in doing the work to put that book together, that true friendships and stronger friendships, especially faith-based ones among women or among guys for that matter too, it is really a hunger that's out there?
I do find that. And, you know, one of the things, I know the book was geared towards women, but many men, many husbands have picked it up and shared that it was really helpful. And one of the things in this book, The Friendship Project, I talk about a lot of the saints and saint quotes. And I wrote it actually with another friend, co-author Michelle Fanley, because we wanted to show that this idea of friendship, spiritual Christ-centered friendships, are transformative. And I have one quote, which I just have really gained a lot of strength from, St. Francis de Sales, who said, "Those who walk on level ground do not need to hold hands, but those who climb steep and slippery roads need to hold on to each other in order to progress more securely." So isn't that true? As we are trying to navigate the difficult waters of where we live in this time period, we need people's hands that we can hold to ground us and to show us that, you know what, it might feel harder to live out your faith and do the things that are necessary, but in the long run, this is what gives us peace, joy, love, and we can really see the fruits in our own life.
We'll continue to talk more about renewing some of those relationships and other good things we can renew in the summertime along with Emily Jaminet. But on the feast day of St. Benedict, when we talk a lot about work and prayer, I'm going to take a break in the work. If you'd like to pray, that's fine, or like to listen to these important announcements, hey, that would be good too. More of Morning Air coming up directly next here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
It's electric!
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Oh, man, I tell you, we're getting a workout this morning here from the Macarena to the electric slide. And, you know, as a rock and roll disc jockey, I'll just kind of sit back and play air guitar, I guess. Thank you very much for those tunes, though, Sarah DeFoya. It's Glenn and Sarah and John with the day off here as Morning Air continues. Our story corner coming up before the hour is through. Some news headlines at the top. And then we get into the next hour with a look at some fun and games that we can have to learn and build our family a little more closely together. Kim Morgan joins us at that point as well. But continuing to talk about summer is a great time to get rejuvenated and rebuild that faith a little bit as well. Emily Jaminet is with us. And Emily, we were talking about friends right before the break and how important it is to build one another up. I love that image of, you know, on level ground, we don't need to hold hands without falling over as we're walking together on that journey, but certainly over slippery or rough or steep terrain, as so much of life brings, we do need to hold one another's hand. I was thinking, too, over the weekend, in the course of lots of talking and visiting, one day with extended family, another day with just a close couple friends, that you know, we ought to be prepared to share our faith maybe in different environments. There's a brother-in-law that's not 100% on board with all the same faith stuff we might talk about day in and day out here, but he loves to engage in conversation. And so it's respectful and interesting and a great opportunity to bring to bear some of the things I might learn here or in listening to Patrick Madrid from 8 to 11 Central to defend the faith, because that definitely comes into play. And yesterday, a great day just with some folks who've been re-energized in their faith the last day or two, or a year or two, I should say. And they were just, you know, overjoyed to be able to talk about faith in a regular, everyday setting. How important is that, that we're prepared to share our faith a little bit with friends, even, you know, to talk about things, you know, other than just how the kids are doing or how our favorite sports team's doing?
You know, it's really important. And I think sometimes we might be intimidated by engaging in that conversation. So I think, you know, my advice for you, if you know, if you're pool, like for me, I spend much time poolside with some acquaintances, but beginning with a spirit of gratitude, really giving the Lord the thanks, the praise, you know, thanking him, and even just sharing, "I'm so grateful for this beautiful day," to the Lord. "I'm so grateful that, you know, we can be here today." That beginning the conversation like that is a powerful way to have a spiritual reset, to engage in the conversation, and really to witness, because in the kingdom of God, we know that there are certain attributes, peace, love, joy, and you know, I noticed too that over the week, weekend. I was lacking in some of those areas. I was having a little bit of difficulty with my son, my young adult son. I said, let's go to confession and then finish this conversation. And when we did that, it was amazing how we got back on the same page. We were able to process it, you know, as we worked through some of the details of the rest of the summer. So a lot of times if you're not feeling the kingdom, maybe you do need to go to confession, but we can be a witness in our ordinariness, our attitude, our disposition, and how we speak about what's going on around us.
Emily, how important is it in parenting to acknowledge that imperfection, especially as the kids get older? You know, we're still their parents. You know, as they get older, we like to be their friends sometimes, and to a degree, that's a great thing. But to acknowledge the imperfection in our example sometime, and like you say, there's a thing you can even do about it. Is okay, that's a reason to get to confession, and you both are going.
You know what? I think it's that important aspiration that we desire to be humble like the Lord, meek and humble like his heart. And a lot of times it begins with admitting to others our shortcomings. And in the world, you know, especially through social media, everything is picture perfect. It's Pinterest perfect. It looks great on paper. But the truth is we want to have stronger relationships with God, with others, with our family. We need to seek to be humble and to learn to see our faults in light of God and get those graces. And, you know, as I was sitting in confession line on Saturday, I was so grateful for this sacrament, this opportunity to hit the ultimate spiritual reset button and know that, you know, my soul was getting peppered with new graces and to be able to see myself and be set free. So if you are struggling, you know, maybe this is a hard season sometimes, and you are struggling with maybe a particular relationship in your family, invite that person, say, let's go to confession together and then have the rest of that conversation. And let's really seek those graces. Let's go to Mass together on Sunday as a family. Let's really have these spiritual moments together and bond and be brought closer to the Lord.
How important, too, Emily, is it to be real and to acknowledge that imperfection, whether it be everything's not going great at work or with health or finances, whatever, or we goofed up and we made a mistake and, you know, we were rude to somebody when we know better, when we thought about it the second time around and asked for forgiveness or give forgiveness and move on. But how important is it if we really hope to, you know, impact people for Christ ultimately, or just have good relationships to go through life with some friends or make the family work better, that we are real about the struggles in life?
Well, I think you bring such a great point up, Glenn, as, you know, a lot of times people, I'm sure when they meet you in real life, you know, they think, oh, you probably got it all together. You're on the radio. This is what you do for a living, talking about the faith. But the truth is, each one of us have these imperfections. Each one of us struggle with ordinary life. We might get frustrated at the price of gas. We might be frustrated with a kid that, you know, is just struggling, or even our own inability to do what we need to do. But those struggles are what keep us humble, and they're real opportunities for spiritual growth. And the longer that I'm engaged in my faith and really striving to grow in holiness, I see that even a lighthearted spirit, when I don't take myself so seriously, I can see the humor in my imperfections and also just appreciate that God's grace is renewed each day for me. And I am learning better at saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, each and every day to my family, and working on those relationships.
Another word you've mentioned a couple times in the last few minutes is that of gratitude. Not only does it help our hearts to have a heart filled with gratitude, to thank God for all the good, the regular good, as well as the extraordinary good that may come our way as well, but it's a great icebreaker, like you started to say, if we're talking with others and, you know, we can't launch into some theological discussion usually, but just to acknowledge that there is some good that maybe we don't deserve, or certainly came from some force beyond what we can. You know, we can't create that beautiful sunset out there, or just the perfect mix of temperature and humidity for that great day by the pool. But just to, you know, casually give God thanks for that is a way to make it normalized that we thank God for these good things in our life.
Well, one thing I love to do with my children is at the end of the day, we share specific things that we're grateful for that particular day. So it's, yes, we're grateful for our family, but you know what? And this day was really special. How did the Lord work in your life? You know, maybe it was that beautiful morning walk that you made the effort to get up and go on. But those types of specifics help us to see the world differently. And it might be the gratitude of running into an old friend at the mall, or, you know, having an opportunity to meet someone who's also faith-based, and, you know, sharing those gratitudes with others really do reset your heart, reset your attitude. And when you're in a negative Nelly kind of a mode, it really does prevent you from articulating the kingdom, being a witness to others. And there's a lot of things to be negative about, but gratitude is the ultimate spiritual reset. And in family life, I think it's really, really important that we share our gratitude for each other, and that we focus on very specific gratitudes, so that and giving God all the glory, not ourselves, not general, but really thanking the Lord.
So much good can flow from that, the good of appreciating how God is at work in our lives, in addition to the humility, realizing that good is not all of our own work and design. And I would bet, you know, for the kids, that's something, especially at certain ages, they really look forward to that and maybe work hard to come up with their item for the day.
You know what they do in each one? A lot of times it's an aha moment, like, oh, actually this day was really fun, or wow, the sky was really, really blue today. Or, you know, that rain, I'm so grateful it rained because all the plants got a drink. You know, that kind of conversation, if you don't know what to say, you know, it's a great filler. It's a great way to even reset your attitude if you're feeling cranky. One of the things that have really transformed spiritual reset button is, you know, gratitude for getting to adoration, gratitude for receiving the sacrament, spending time with the Lord. Lately, we've been doing a weekly adoration hour with my husband, and I realized that this is something that was once, you know, oh, we should do it, and now it's something that we look forward to doing. We spend that time with the Lord and allows those His graces to pour forth on us together. So, you know, don't be afraid to include your faith with what you know are your day-to-day routine. And maybe, you know, for the first time, you know, inviting your spouse to experiencing something like a holy hour together, it can really transform your life.
Is that something as well with boys and men we need to work on a little bit more, getting them to verbalize some of the good things that they see as well?
You know what, I think so. A lot of times the men in my life, the young men in my life, my sons, my husband, you know, they're always grateful after we go through points of gratitude. But I don't think they always think about it. And this is something that attitude reset can be done in such simple ways, but it's really important that we do it.
Well, Emily Jamilet, thank you so much for your time today, and blessings on a great summer of renewing the faith and friendships and family relationships and all that good stuff. We appreciate you being with us, and Lord willing, look forward to another chat again real soon. We continue now with Morning Air. We roll on here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app with a look and listen at today's Story Corner. And as we are into ice cream season, pulling this one from a couple years back, our story today called A Real Treat, as reported in Yahoo News. When a visually impaired customer accidentally dropped a $20 bill at a Hopkins, Minnesota Dairy Queen, employee Joey Prusak said he was shocked by what happened next. The lady behind him just picked it up and put it in her purse, he told Yahoo News, as if no one saw it. What Prusak did inspired another customer to write an email to the store manager praising the 19-year-old for his calm and kindness. The email went to Reddit and then was picked up by the Daily Mail and quickly turned Prusak into a nominee for the Nice Guy Hall of Fame, if only such a place existed. Prusak, who had been working at Dairy Queen since he was 14, told Yahoo News that he recognized the visually impaired customer, saying he's a regular and always pays with a debit card. He doesn't use a wallet, so when he pulled out his card, the cash fell to the ground. After the woman picked up the 20 and put it in her purse, Prusak said he confronted her about it. He said, "Ma'am, can you please return the gentleman's money?" The woman denied that she took the cash. "It's kind of a scene," Prusak said. "I told her what she did was extremely disrespectful and she had to leave. She did, but she never gave back the money. So Pruzak went above and beyond. He walked to the customer who'd lost the 20 and gave him 20 from his own pocket. I felt it needed to be done, he said. The man thanked him, and Pruzak didn't really think anything of it going back to his job. Flash forward several days, Pruzak's manager gets an email from a customer who had witnessed the exchange. He said, "Why didn't you tell me?" said Pruzak, explaining that, well, it didn't cross his mind. He said, "Just felt like the right thing to do." Let's hope it's a supersized blizzard for him, huh? Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." That's our story today. You can always access the story in podcast form on the Relevant Radio app or the Relevant Radio website, relevantradio.com, or get a look and a listen again to the text and audio on the Glenn Story Corner Facebook page. Love to hear from you, too. If you have suggestions for the story, feel free to email those, whether it's one you've come across or even written yourself and you think would be a great story. Send it to us, morningair@relevantradio.com. That's morningair@relevantradio.com. Do you have family game nights regularly? Maybe once in a while? Maybe you're too competitive to have any fun playing games? All of those aspects may come into play. We'll talk about having fun with the fam and playing some games and learning a little more about our faith, as well as building those family relationships. That's all coming up. Kim Morgan joins us in the next hour to talk about that right after some news headlines. Also later on, we'll continue talking about the workplace and how to find that next great job. Bruce Lochenour coming up too.